Hi, and welcome to Night Clerk Radio. This is episode 53, Nature Wave Walks. With me, as always, is Burke. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Spring has sprung, as they would say. It is finally starting to warm up and not be so miserable outside. And
well,
depending on where you are.
I am 1,300 miles east of you, so the nice weather hasn't gotten here.
Aww. Yeah, to be fair, it's been a very cold spring here in the Midwest. And so I'm more trying to be glasses half full kind of guy at this point.
Of course. I'm sorry.
Just looking forward to some nice weather for once. And so what better season to talk about Nature Wave? So we called it Climate Wave in last episode, but there's actually a difference between Climate Wave and Nature Wave. Climate Wave is inspired by weather channels, not just the weather channel, but weather channels for like Japan and other places and similar aesthetics. But it's a whole subgenre. It's a whole thing, as they would say.
It is.
And so we'll cover that in a future episode. But yeah, Nature Wave is a separate subgenre of Vaporwave. It is quite interesting. In fact, there's a Daily Bandcamp article about it, linking to a bunch of different albums. We'll try and put the link in the show notes. It's definitely worth checking out. If the albums we review today are interesting to you, you could check that article out to find more in Nature Wave. I have, of course, some thoughts about the genre as a whole, but Burke, what do you think of Nature Wave as a concept?
I don't know. I actually don't think I know as much about Nature Wave as I thought I knew, at least after listening to these albums, because it kind of first made sense to me, or I conceptualized it as like having some natural element to it. So there's a lot of nature field recordings, which are certainly present in these albums. And a lot of the synth work tends to be like new agey, like Yanni type.
Yeah. Stuff. Spa music.
Spa music. Yeah, I called it aquarium music because that's what I associate with that.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
largely because I grew up near Baltimore. So I went to the Baltimore Aquarium all the time. And I just have like really distinct memories of staring at fish in little tanks while, well, not little tanks, they're big tanks because the Baltimore Aquarium is like one of the best aquariums. But just, yeah, and this type of just like trickly synth, gentle drone stuff kind of plays. And it's sort of dark depending on where you are because some fish, you know, they had a big exhibit where you would walk down this ramp that was like three or four stories down. And it would be getting darker and darker because you're like going into the depths of the ocean and the fish were like stratified out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like they're what depth they usually hang out in the ocean.
Yeah, it tries to simulate their environment to the best they can.
The abyssal depths. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And I remember standing in like these like dark hallways with this type of something akin to this type of music playing. But there are other elements of it that sort of surprised me because I sort of jokingly wrote that it's post-humanist vaporwave. Like, because I thought the point of it was also to remove like the human subject from vaporwave, because a lot of vaporwave is about human activities, consumerism, memory, nostalgia. These are not things like nature experiences. I don't think nature sits around and is like, hey, remember when it wasn't a drought? That was pretty cool. Maybe they do. I don't know. You can get into it. I thought a way of expressing that was to not have as much vocals and be more strictly instrumental. But that doesn't seem to be the case. There's a fair amount of, especially on your album, of just like vocal work.
A lot of it. A lot of chanting, a lot of weird choruses and singing. Yeah. For me, I think Nature Wave is, again, about a duality. You know, like I've said, Vaporwave is anxiety versus comfort. And sort of along a similar axis, Nature Wave is about technology versus nature, which is, of course, one of the biggest concepts and tropes, whatever you want to call it, in just all art, especially for the last 200 or ever since the Industrial Revolution. It's been kind of a thing. But in Vaporwave, I mean, there's very specific connotations about how this is framed. Did you have something?
No, I was going to say that kind of actually makes sense, because I think that is part of like humanist, post-humanist divide in philosophy is like, when you construct like ontological systems, how do you process like humanity separate from nature?
Yeah. But like a lot of source music, a lot of the music that inspired Vaporwave is very corporate techno utopianist, I would call it, because it's this sort of cheerful music designed to sell you on whatever technology the corporation is selling and how it's going to make everything better. And then you also have this very specific moment in history in the 1990s about environmentalism, corporate environmentalism, which was about selling individual responsibility and, but also sort of generic feel good. And this is when greenwashing really became a thing. Greenwashing is like whitewashing, but like, hey, we're being eco-friendly, you know, painting, giving your products green packaging and saying you're planting trees, you know, for every water bottle you sell, we'll plant a tree or something like that.
We banned CFCs because we were forced to.
Yeah, exactly. Aren't we great? And, you know, in the 1990s, you had Captain Planet and like pick up litter and all this other stuff. And the idea that individual responsibility will, if you recycle, everything will be okay, which is, you know, obviously not the case. It doesn't matter. It's a structural issue. It has to require a structural solution.
Right.
And vaporwave is about confronting, you know, the lies we were sold versus like the reality and the fact that we cannot, it's unresolvable. It's irreconcilable between these two things, this tension. And Nature Wave is about that. Like, and a lot of like tech bros and people, tech evangelists are really into nature too. You know, like one of the biggest companies in the world is called Amazon, you know, like after the river.
It's what they're burning down.
Yeah, exactly. it's what they're burning down. So, and they think that they can, like, they have this vision of a future where they're living in this garden world with the coolest gadgets in a luxury house, but surrounded by beautiful nature. So I think Nature Wave is about taking these things and sort of exploring it. Certainly my album really explores that, but I mean, yeah, both albums, I think all the albums do. So I think it's about the, so it's again, this, oh, technology's cool. Computers are cool. And, oh God, the things we have to do in order to make computers a physical thing, like, you know, the thing, the damage we do to the environment. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think that's what this whole subgenre is about, is this unresolvable tension between technology is cool and benefits us and versus nature is beautiful and we're destroying it. At least that's how it reads to me. And I don't know how active or how philosophical the artists are, but I think there's also a lot of, musically speaking, nature field recordings contrasting with synths, you know, very artificial with very naturalistic sounds, and also like music that recalls earlier cultures and civilizations and, you know, periods of history, again, contrasting with very techno heavy, like, instruments and sounds, creates a very interesting musical experience. So,
And I do think in both albums, just to comment on the similarity, I do think there's like, maybe it's just echoing what you said, there is like a strong environmentalism message. I don't know, like, I assume it's sincere, but also like maybe a little parodying of 90s PSAs.
No, I mean, like I said, it's all about
the
tension and the fact that it's fucking ridiculous. Like, Captain Planet deserves to be laughed at because, you know, it's fucking stupid. He taught
those kids not to litter and beat up a bad guy.
Yeah, the solution is to have magic powers and a superhuman that you can summon to undo structural pollution. Like, that's what you need.
Exactly. And also to the structural point, it's always, it's very like one bad actor type stuff. Of like this one CEO, he's the one that's dumping chemicals in the river.
Yeah. Mr. Toxic is just an asshole. When you get rid of him, the system will be fine. Yeah. Exactly. It's not like Mr. Toxic and the entire Chamber of Commerce are dumping, you know, toxic waste in the water stream. So
off to an optimistic start. That little bit of music is the back half of the opening track of our first album, Biosphere 0.2 by Cyber Surfer 3D. So this is an album that I chose because I wanted something a little more recent compared to your choice. And it's a little bit shorter. The other album's a little bit longer. So kind of like a feasible amount of listening and research beforehand. And I just was going through the Nature Wave tag on Bandcamp. And I just really liked this album when I was listening to it. So I wanted to talk about it. It actually came out in 2021, but the way I stumbled across it in the new releases is that 2 months ago at this point, now it had a cassette release on the Global Pattern kind of label. And Cyber Surfer 3D has a few other albums on Global Pattern. And then they have their own Bandcamp that has a bunch of music kind of dating back the last few years. So this album is sort of interesting because it is a concept album of one person going on a tour of what's called an APP, an air production plant, in the liner notes. So the album liner notes constantly reference like our trashing of our atmosphere. There's like stuff about, oh, the joy of what it was to breathe, the thing our ancestors remember, and like that type of stuff. So constant references to that, a lot of wordplay about an air plant, like as in a plant that makes things made of plants, which are nature. So there's that technology nature kind of duality right there in that, having fun with that, like that wordplay. And you hear this concept sort of throughout the album. It is one of these albums. I think I'm drawn to these type of ones that have like some amount of storytelling. Cause I think like that abstract storytelling through music is always interesting to me versus just like writing a story down. One thing I also want to give this album shout outs for before we get into the music itself is that it is also tagged on Bandcamp as post everything and post whatever.
I like that.
I love that. I was like, oh man, this is a person who also thinks genre is kind of silly like me.
Very obviously post vaporwave in that regard. So like, I like how artists are beginning like, labels are kind of ridiculous, necessary for marketing.
So I think, you know, this album kind of just grabbed me because I think it starts off really strong, right? Like really great, like upbeat, bright nature samples, synth. And if you give it a few minutes, you get to the point where that sample I just played were like, I hate to say trap because I think it's overused, but like trap adjacent kind of drums. It's kind of the word I use for when you have that like staccato high attack hi-hats that are kind of fast, a little syncopated. I just associate that with the word trap. That's just kind of like a branding marketing thing that's wormed its way into my brain. And against the synth lead is super nice. It's just hesitant to say this because I don't want it to be misinterpreted, but it kind of gave me like the similar calming joy of like the Minecraft soundtrack, which is something we should actually maybe talk about. I think you could unironically do that out because those are, those are actually really good ambient video game soundtracks.
I mean, it's iconic. I mean, it's going to be, 10 years from now, there's going to be a huge upsurge in ambient music because of all the kids raised on Minecraft. Like, I mean, they want that sound now.
And just to clarify, I don't mean it's like musically derivative of the Minecraft soundtrack. I just mean like it's kind of that same, like, I think there's like a peaceful exploration kind of like nature feel to that music.
I kind of, it reminded me of like a nice like chamber music, but like with the nature field recordings in it. It's very gentle yet complex, you know, layered and harmonious. It's a very good opening, very meditative. I quite enjoyed it.
And then like this is only five tracks, so we can just, I'm just gonna hit each track individually. Then track two, because I think we also want to step through for the story purpose. So track two, there's like another change in mood where it's still pretty bright, but I feel like it slows down just a bit, and there's still these nature sounds. There's like babbling brooks, but the synth timbre is like a little more drawn out. It's a little more contemplative. It's a little more, it's just not as active. It's really like more calming.
Yeah, I can see that. That track, like I would listen to it and then like, oh shit, it's already down. We're already on to track three. I kind of, it's so, I don't know, easy to get lost in, I guess I would say.
Yeah, and I think track three continues that sort of evolution. It brings it down another notch. And I think it really hits that sweet spot of what I like in like gentle synth.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like the opening for track three. It's like that kind of ethereal chorus kind of sound. So yeah, no, it's very, again, it gets getting back for the spa / aquarium music kind of vibe for it.
Yeah, exactly. And I say that with high praise. I mean, the journeyer, the better for me. Because a lot of what I do is like, I listen to this stuff while I'm like working or studying or whatever. And it's just really good for that. And I think that these first three tracks, one thing I want to talk about, and this also comes up in yours a bit, is there's these nature sound, right? Part of nature wave is like birds or rivers or waterfalls or
field recordings. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're like too perfect, which I think is like on purpose. They just are like too clean and like too idealized. And like whenever I hear these gentle nature sounds, I always think of the clip of like Herzog in the jungle, where he's just like, all around me there's violence and suffering, cries out.
Yeah. 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 That's true. I mean, that's another aspect of nature wave, is like it's an idealized, romanticized view of nature. They don't really, like, biologists would be like, oh yeah, no, see that bug's infected with a horrible parasite. That bird's eating another bird, eating the babies of another bird, you know, like this is, there's just murder and violence and cannibalism and madness all around you in the forest. So
yeah,
it's all delusion. Yeah,
exactly. Which I think is makes it consistent with other vaporwave subgenres of like being like an illusion or idealization of like shopping or being in an office. Like a hyper real nature, which is also, this makes this episode well timed because I just finished rereading Into the Wild, which is also about somebody maybe idealizing nature a bit too much.
I think you can, you don't need the maybe there.
Well, you never know. But all this serenity of these first three tracks, though, is kind of broken all of a sudden on track four, where it opens with this tram voiceover, very Half-Life-y.
Yes.
And that, where it goes into the concept album, is like that we're touring this large biodome sphere plant type object, and we're kind of being called back. And it's interesting because if you didn't have the liner notes, you wouldn't really know what the theme was. But this is the one that like explicitly brings you back to the theme. And I don't know if it's supposed to be like you're leaving the dome now type deal, like this is the tram out because we're done our tour. But there's a really cool part towards the end that sounds like this. So this is from late into track four, where there's this like little under rhythmic ostinato going on, like wood blocks or claves or something. It's very repetitive, and there's synth over it.
Yeah.
And I really love this because it's like a noted departure from the style of the first half, which I kind of associate with a departure of from the dome, because the music and the synth feels more unnatural, more machine-like. So you're like stepping away from nature.
Yeah. It's also kind of like trying to, it's like, oh, like has this hypnotic quality to me. Yeah. So again, yeah, trying to, you're being the vague sense of being indoctrinated, you know, like with a program, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it concludes with track five, which also has a voiceover sample, which places the dome. Because I wasn't sure, because part of me was like, is this supposed to be like we're terraforming Mars or have we destroyed Earth? And it does do a destroyed Earth because it talks about the tram for Pittsburgh Bay Point, which is on the BART near San Francisco, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So we're in California, and but now it's kind of confirms we've left the dome. Now we're back outside. We're just waiting for a train to take us back to wherever. But I thought this track had like a great duality because there's like a little like melancholy uncertainness to it, but it's also like hopeful and optimistic. I think it strikes a real good balance between all of those emotions. Like, I think you could read into it a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I would not, this music would be perfect for like a, I don't know, a Total Recall or like some sort of sci-fi movie about how Earth in the not too distant future, you know, going mm-hmm. through a tram, talking about how great our air plant is, air processing plant is.
That is true. The synth does sound, again, not derivative, but similar to some of the synth in like the ads in Total Recall when he's on the train. And it's like the recall type stuff.
Yeah. Very sci-fi, like, which is appropriate. Like, this is this album actually does have, I looked on the Bandcamp page, some rights reserved. You are free to copy and redistribute the material in any medium or format. So you could actually put this on like a sci-fi short video or something like that. Like you could do a concept music video for this.
I think if you had a bunch of like 90s era speculative concept drawings or mm-hmm. art of like future technology or like terraforming domes and that type of stuff, I think it would fit really well as like a music video like a video project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would actually be a lot of fun. Yeah, no, this is really cool. This also are all original music as far as I can mm-hmm. tell. It's not sampled or Plunderphonics at all, which is, and it's very well, the mastering is very clean. It's a very crisp sound. Like I considering how many Plunderphonics and lo-fi stuff we get, like this is nice.
It's change a of great face. Album. It's pristine. Yeah. It sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that I just happened to cross it on Bandcamp.
I quite like it. Good find there.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely check out their other stuff.
That is part of track one, Mother, from Overgrowth, from Ozcob, Digital Sex, and a few other artists. It's actually a major collaborative project between, like, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 artists altogether, because one of them is a duo. 2814 shows up on this album, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is a very long album. This is, hour 23 minutes long. And it is a journey because mm-hmm. it is, you could play certain tracks from this and you would not guess that it's from the same album. It is very much this is where I, listening to this is where I formed my thesis about Nature Wave as a whole, about the tension and the duality, mm-hmm. because this is a album about nature and technology. And basically it's about how we go from nature to technology and the violence inherent in that prospect. Because it is, according to Ozcob, the album was motivated by a desire for the listener to hear nature slowly decay into the technologically advanced world of tomorrow. So it's beautiful. It actually, I got kind of emotional listening to this. You think about like, oh yeah, it really does thrust that idea at the first of what we're doing to nature to have technology and mm-hmm. you're like, oh boy. Yeah. I don't watch nature documentaries anymore because I get, I don't like thinking about that stuff. It's a beautiful album, and a challenging album in a lot of ways. So this is also one of the older albums. One of the first sort of albums that pioneered the nature wave subgenre came out in July of 2015, but it's had multiple releases then for cassette and vinyl, I believe. But yeah, I loved it, but it is a highly varied album. What in general, what did you think, Burke, before we get into specific tracks.
Yeah, I liked it. I really tend to like albums that have a lot of variety in instrumentation.
Boy, yeah, we got it's kind of a vaporwave sampler because there's a little bit of everything in this. Mm-hmm.
It's funny, some of the stuff I didn't even think of as artists, because really 2014 is on this. I was like, really? But yeah, they have a producer credit on one track. I just read that as part of the track title because of fucking vaporwave. I was like, this is something prod 2814. Okay. And like just being, you know,
yeah,
going over stuff too quick. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think some of the, we can get to it in order, in whatever order you want to talk about. Some of the later really glitchy stuff kind of caught me off guard, mm-hmm. especially while I was working.
Oh yeah. We should probably get into the specific tracks then, because
yeah, we don't have to hit all of them, but there's a few I want to talk about for sure.
Yeah. The opening track, Mother, I really like because it has this odd sort of rhythmic chant and these mm-hmm. four field recordings and then this call and response. It's, you know, like birds in the forest mm-hmm. calling to each other. Very unique feel to it. Mm-hmm. And I quite enjoy it. Then as we go on in the album, like track two is this very, very much spa music, you know, Gregorian kind of chants, mm-hmm. calm, tranquil nature seed. It's very, very calming. Get your massage. It's, you know, fall asleep as you smell the incense. It's quite nice. But I think track three is the one with Chungking Mansions produced. Mm. It's called Daydreaming, and I quite like it. It can't see. It's kind of stuck in this same. It's not quite Nature Sounds. It's not Nature Sounds at all. It is can't quite seem to get started. It's no longer hopeful, but kind of worried the second time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it reminds me of Chungking Mansions. I've listened to some of their other stuff, and it's very. Yeah, this ambient synth.
Yeah, it does feel kind of like, yeah, like stuck because it does have that little strong delay effect, like that repetition delay effect. So mm-hmm. the chorus, I go, dun, 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 dun. You kind of like, you're stuttering almost.
Why don't we just go ahead and put a sample? Tracks four through six, though, get into this sort of ambient and world music. Now, we're going through these a little faster because there are 19 tracks on this album. It is mm-hmm. a very long album. And we're gradually seeing this transition from field recordings and nature and super tranquil to getting a little more. Well, we get like in track five, a world music, like a drum circle kind of with chanting mm-hmm. and singing really builds up in the last third of the track. And then Sleepwalking is a very. Got a very hypnotic beat to it. Kind of reminded me of Biosphere in that mm-hmm. regard. So yeah, all of this would be appropriate for Nature Wave. All of this is sounding, but then we get track seven and it's like, is this shoegaze?
Like, yeah. I tried to look for who sampled for this. Cause I was like, I feel like I know this, mm-hmm. but it is, it's like, I don't know. I was thinking Nature Wave. It's like somebody's playing shoegaze two tenths over from mm-hmm. you.
yeah, it is
camping
it
outside
is oddly distancing. Yeah, it's like it's a shoegaze but in a mall, like it's very like it's got that mall soft effect sounding like coming from a distant location. Mm-hmm. It's quite interesting. And then track seven, so we're beginning to lose all our connection to nature. Mm-hmm. not we're beginning to lose it. It's not entirely gone, but like track eight opens with like these Godspeed You Black Emperor style vocal sample of a man just talking about nature and like pollution and that kind of stuff. And
the perfect storm is coming for us.
Yes. The storm is coming for us. And then it's like mall soft in a storm. Like you can hear the music, but there's also a storm overhead. So like you can hear the rain beating down on the roof. Mm. So then we get to track nine, which has this, let's see, track nine is called Complex. and it has gentle drumming, nature chant, you know, vapor nature kind of. And track 10 was really haunting for me. This, I want to put a sample in here for track 10. A very haunting sample of a speak and spell, and then followed by this Vangelis-esque synth pads, and then it goes into vapor trap. Like, I don't know. I think speak and spells just sound cursed. It just they just sound so ominous. And then track 12, this ominous industrial sounding. Then this late shift into vapor trap with this really cool piano break around 229. Then we get into track 13, and this is what the one that really got to me, because it starts out with the sounds of chainsaws being revved up, and then it's just followed by a scream and into this brutal hell noise. Like, it's just super industrial rage and death, and it's like, oh yeah, that's kind of what they do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, so you've been thinking about nature and, you know, all this other stuff, and now you're going to have to think about what we have to do to nature. And it's like, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, it's all the chainsaw stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think the track is very ominously titled.
Death is Rebirth or something like that.
Yeah, Death is Rebirth. There's someone on one of the Bandcamp pages for this album. It's listed on two different places. Yeah, one is bloodhoney.bandcamp. And there's one of the reviewers who's like, it's such a beautiful, gentle album, and it's so otherworldly. My favorite track is Destruction is Rebirth. It's like, are you just trying to troll people? So, yeah. But then after that, now we're in full technology.
Well, I did want to, I guess there's a different track that has a sample of a woman talking about forests. So I can save my point for that. But yeah, I do think that, like, the Death and Rebirth is also literal, like you said, because there's, like, you cut down all these trees. Mm-hmm. And then there's this just insane noise. I'm just kind of reiterating what you said about it. And then, like, you come out into the next few tracks are just like, oh, we're going places now.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. And then we get into, like, vapor trap really, really fast with a bit of, like, industrial for the next track. 15, I thought, was very techno thriller. You Can't Run Forever, produced by White Marino. Very cinematic music. Like, then again, this album has so many surprises. Track 16, Decay. God, it starts with this mournful violin and high frequency synths, sort of like pulsating. And then it's like, oh, hey, it's a Nine Inch Nails track. Oh, hey, now it's back to a classical strings quartet. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's going on here? Like, what's happening? And then as we're wrapping the album up, there, track 17 and 18 are like signal wave. Like, I think this is the one with the woman talking. Like, it's very hypnotic, like samples And I think this is the one with the woman talking. Mm-hmm. And it sounds a bit like almost like number stations of points. Like there's mm-hmm. a lot of that lo-fi static, radio static. So, yeah. And then track 19, it's like, oh, here's 2814 with this really sweet, lush ambient.
Big, long track, just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And but they bring back the call and response from track one. Yeah, it's a journey. Yeah. It's a hell of an album in that regard.
The back third of the album is something.
Yeah.
It gets pretty intense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked it, but the first time I listened to it, I was like, oh.
yeah, exactly. like, oh no, I'm feeling things. I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, I kind of wish I had known about this album earlier because like with the first release of it was a cassette with a 3D printed cube. Because the cover art for this album is a pink cube floating in mm-hmm. a forest or a mm-hmm. rainforest. And I was like, ooh, I would like that. But alas, it was limited and sold out. Limited to 5. So, yeah, I doubt I could have gotten it even if I'd been there.
5? Okay.
Yeah. Well, they're 3D printing in 2016, I think, when they did that. So
I'll 3D print you a pink cube, bros.
Aw. Yeah. So, it's I think it's one of the better, certainly a top 20 vaporwave album of all time for me, like to showcase.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. I think it really showcased what the genre can do.
Yeah. Big, long, expansive conceptual stuff is really interesting for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's also like I think the album with the most collaborators, I think that has like, it's not just like, here's a bunch of music, you know, it does have a really cohesive theme. Even though it's super varied, but I had a genuine emotional response to this album, you know, and I think it is illustrating what philosophically vaporwave is about, you know, this duality between comfort and anxiety. And it's like the comfort of technology versus the anxiety of what technology costs, you know, like, yeah, it's a lot to think about. And I think that's what good music does. But it's not like casual listening. maybe you picked the tracks for the first third of the album. That would be okay. But like, yeah, Destruction for His Rebirth is not like casual listening.
Mm.
I mean, maybe if you just put it on an industrial mix where it's all just brutal noises, it wouldn't be as noticeable. But like mm-hmm. that contrast between the opening and that track is quite a bit of a leap. Thanks for listening. Our next episode is going to be about dark ambient. We're going to find some new dark ambient albums. I will try to find something outside of Cryo Chamber, even though Cryo Chamber does excellent stuff. We need to branch out a bit. So yeah, we'll just be finding some albums and reviewing them.
Yeah, you have a strict no Cryo Chamber rule, Peyton.
Yeah. If you haven't joined our Patreon, please consider doing so. Patreon.com/nightclerkradio. We have a bonus episode every month. We have quite a few at this point. We also have a Discord where we talk and share memes, and it's a lot of fun. We have an idea for our bonus episode this month. It's going to be me discussing a Signal Wave album I want to make. And so we're going to be talking about like how to make an album, because I've never made an album before. I'm a musical production novice, mm-hmm. but I think Signal Wave is an approachable genre for newcomers to music. So yeah, we'll see that. But we have a lot of other episodes you can listen to. And yeah, it helps the podcast keep going. So if you want to talk to us, we are at Night Clerk Radio on Twitter. I am at Ross Payton. Burke is at Burke McBurkinson. We have a website, nightclerkradio.com, where you can find all our episodes and show notes with links to the various articles we mentioned and albums, of course. We also have a Facebook page where I post links to the website. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you use to listen to podcasts. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell strangers, tell the world about Night Clerk Radio. And we'll be talking to you next time. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.